Welcome to a podcast from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service, or ERS. This podcast highlights an article from Amber Waves, the magazine of the Economic Research Service. We are joined now by Kathy Lipton, the Deputy Executive Editor of Amber Waves.
Thank you. Here with me today is Nathan Childs, author of the Amber Waves article, What's Behind the Surge in Global Rice Prices? Nathan, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Kathy. I'm delighted to be here.
The title of your article talks about a surge in global rice prices. Can you tell us what happened to rice prices in 2008?
Well, yes. This April, both U.S. and global rice prices spiked to the highest levels on record. In fact, global prices doubled between February and April, and U.S. prices doubled between December and April. On a slightly longer time horizon, global rice prices tripled in the 12-month period before late April.
What caused U.S. and global prices to spike to these record highs?
Well, the large price spikes that occurred this April were not due to a shortfall in global production. They weren't due to a surge in demand for rice or even tight overall global rice supplies. Instead, the spikes were primarily due to export bans and restrictions implemented by several major and mid-level rice exporting countries. And by banning or restricting the amount of rice going into the global rice market, it caused the global rice prices to rise very rapidly. And because the United States exports about half of its crop each year, the activities in the global market have a big impact on U.S. prices.
Can you explain more about these bans? Which countries were involved, and why did they implement bans and restrictions?
Well, by this April, five rice-exporting countries, India, Vietnam, China, Egypt, and Cambodia, had implemented bans or restrictions on rice exports. And together, these five countries typically account for about 40% of global rice exports. And the primary reason these countries banned or restricted their exports of rice was to limit or contain food price inflation in their own countries. And by exporting less rice and having more rice available for their own consumers, it would likely lower the price of rice in their own market and may even cause some consumers to shift from more higher-priced products to lower-priced products.
You mentioned food price inflation in Asia as one of the reasons for the bans. What factors are behind the rise in prices in Asian countries?
Well, across most of developing Asia, food prices have been rising very rapidly for about a year and a half. Several factors are behind the rapid rise in food prices. First off, income growth has been very strong in most of Asia, especially China, India, and Vietnam. And with stronger income growth, many consumers are shifting from traditional wheat and rice-based products to more high-valued products like meat, fruit, vegetables, and dairy. In addition, the high oil prices of recent years have caused food prices to rise. As agriculture is a fuel-intensive industry, fuel is required to transport, process, mill, and market most agricultural commodities. And for rice, of course, the irrigation pumps are often run by fuel. So higher fuel prices translate into higher commodity prices across the board. In addition, the expanded use of primarily corn in biofuels has taken some land that could have gone for food and feed grain production and is used for fuel production. So this causes prices to rise, especially for the crops that are used for the fuel. Another factor is the low value of the dollar has raised the dollar-denominated traded price of rice, as most rice is traded globally in dollars. The weaker dollar actually lowers the price in most other currencies, often boosting demand and raising the price in dollars. In addition, in 06-07 and 07-08, the global wheat crop was down. And of course, wheat and rice are the two major food grains. And especially India wanted to limit imports of wheat, so by restricting exports of rice, it made more rice available to consumers. And in South Asia, many consumers can shift between wheat and rice-based products based on price.
So the bans were put in place to help stabilize food price inflation in many Asian countries. Can you say if the policy worked?
Well, much of the rationale for banning the exports was partly was symbolic. It was one thing the governments could be seen to be doing to stabilize rising domestic food prices. And again, across Asia, many consumers spend up to half their income on food. So rising food prices had a detrimental impact on the economic well-being of a large percent of the consumers in those countries. But the amount of rice that was pushed back into domestic markets was actually quite small. China and India, while exporters, actually only ship a very small portion of their crop into the global market. In addition, the export bans and restrictions were only partial. India continued to export its basmati rice, and it also continued to ship rice to Bangladesh and a few other major buyers. Vietnam continued to make some sales, especially to the Philippines. So the impact on global of consumer prices in these countries was not likely very powerful. It was more of a symbolic move.
You've helped us understand what happened in the global rice market over the past year. Can you tell us what the future holds?
Well, yes. Well, since spiking to record highs in late April and essentially remaining at that level through May, global and domestic rice prices have dropped. In fact, global prices are now 30 to 35% below levels achieved in April and May, and U.S. prices down about 16%. And several factors account for the recent decline in prices. The most important has been the re-entrance of Vietnam as an exporter. Vietnam has allowed its commercial exporters to sign new contracts since the beginning of July, and that's freed up the number two rice exporting country. In addition, the dollar has strengthened recently, and that has lowered the international price of rice traded in dollars. Other commodity prices have come down somewhat as well. Oil prices have come down, although they're still high by historic standards. Also, it's to note that the global 08-09 rice crop is projected to be the largest on record. It follows a record 07-08 crop, so there'll be a lot of rice coming off this fall. The U.S. harvest has already begun, but the big Asian harvest will kick off in September with Pakistan. Then we should see Vietnam harvest a crop. Thailand will harvest a crop. India's major crop will be harvested this fall. So that'll be a lot of rice available to go into the global market. In addition, many rice importing countries are projected to harvest record crops in 08-09 as well. Over somewhat of a longer term, we don't see prices going back to the levels before 07. Several factors account for this. One, we see oil prices remaining high by historic levels for many more years. In addition, income growth in Asia is projected to be rather strong for several more years, and this will drive food prices higher as hundreds of millions of consumers continue to shift from low-priced diets to higher-priced diets. As for the rice market itself, global rice area is still fractionally below the record achieved in 1999. Yield growth has been very slow this century, and the ability to expand rice acreage is somewhat limited. Only certain types of land grow rice. Rice competes with other crops for land in some countries. Water scarcity and high resource prices, input prices are major factors globally. In addition, new high-yielding varieties that can sharply boost yields have not been developed. As such, the ability to expand rice production will be constrained over the next decade. Overall, we do not expect rice prices to return to the pre-07 levels. However, we do not see prices returning to the spikes achieved this spring, assuming normal weather.
Nathan, this has been very interesting. Thanks for spending some time with us today to share your findings. I've been speaking with Nathan Childs, the author of the Amber Waves article, What's Behind the Surge in Global Rice Prices? You can reach Nathan at 202-694-5292 or at nchilds@ers.usda.gov. You can access the latest issue of Amber Waves at www.ers.usda.gov/amberwaves. In the September issue, you will also find articles entitled Obesity in the Midst of Unyielding Food Insecurity in Developing Countries, Balancing Nutrition, Participation, and Cost in the National School Lunch Program, and Rapid Growth in Adoption of Genetically Engineered Crops Continues in the U.S. This is Kathy Lipton. Thank you for listening.
This has been a podcast from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service.